back in the day when I was a kid, we used to have these paper things that we kept in our glove boxes called maps. Yeah, they showed us all the roads in a particular location. Now, when we went on vacations, my dad would request something called a triptych from AAA, which was a little spiral-bound notebook, and our route was highlighted across the multiple pages, and they could even note where the construction zones were likely to be. And then when I was first appointed as a pastor, my parents bought me a spiral-bound Central New York road atlas, which showed all the roads in all our communities. Nowadays, we have these little pocket-sized computers that we take with us, where we can download apps so we don't need to struggle with those giant paper maps anymore. I use an app called Waze, which I love. I can do fun things in my app, like I can make the voice sound British, or I can have it talk to me in French or in Spanish. I can change the way my car shows up on the map, what color it is, what shape it is. And I can scroll ahead or to the side if I want to see how many exits I will pass before I reach my destination, or where the closest gas station or restaurant might be. And then when I have strayed from the main path, I can get back on track by tapping an icon that recenters me. By now, you probably know that I have a deep appreciation for the profound yet simple reflections offered by contemporary theologian Nadia Boles Weber. A couple of years ago, she shared a sermon that included a reflection on recentering when pandemic fatigue she experienced in 2020 was getting the better of her. She writes, "My best friend suggested I try meditating, which I felt as an act of aggression against me. I've never given meditation much of a go because every time I tried it, all I could do was perseverate over how bad I was at meditating. And that kind of self-loathing didn't seem like it was helping me spiritually. So I thought, thanks, but no thanks. But I was desperate. So I downloaded a meditation app and I just did the thing, even though I'm like really bad at sitting perfectly still and clearing my thoughts." This is Nadia continuing to talk. "And look, I know I'm 51 and a so-called spiritual leader, so maybe this shouldn't have been such a surprise to me, but it's not that bad. I mean, it's actually kind of great once I was able to let go of thinking I had to be good at it." Bill Schaefer's nodding now. Nadia continues, "See, what I learned from the teachers I listened to is that the gift of meditation is not in being able to maintain a still mind, although that is great. The gift of meditation," Nadia says, "is in the messing it up. It's in being carried away in thinking and then realizing you're thinking and then returning to the meditation. Meditation's magic is in the returning, not in the never having left." She concludes, "Theologically speaking, there's a word for that. It's repentance." Now, that word repentance can feel judgmental to us. We associate that word with sin. You'll find dictionary definitions that say things like to feel or express sincere regret or remorse about one's wrongdoing or sin. But that is not the original meaning of the word as contained in our scriptures. When John preached baptism for repentance, when Jesus used the words repent and believe in the good news, the word repent, teshuvah in Hebrew, was understood to mean return to God. Some might even interpret the word as synonymous with coming home. So I wonder whether we can retrain ourselves to think of it in that way, rather than repentance focusing us on sin, letting that word welcome us to return to God, to think of repentance, like Nadia's experience of meditation, as an action that recenters us in the source of our life and breath and purpose. Because I think that's what compelled people to come out to John the Baptizer in the wilderness. It certainly wasn't his appearance. John dwelt in the desert, dressed in the most basic of garments. The description sounds like that of the prophet Elijah, who also lived in wilderness times during the exile period of Israel's history. John was not red carpet ready, nor did he aspire to be. And nobody waited for him to come to their synagogues or to the temple. He was out in the wild, and people sought him there. They came to him in droves, the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem. They came to be baptized, to receive at his hands an act that recentered them with God and set them in alignment with God's vision and God's will. It was an act that gave them peace. And peace, at least inner peace, was something the people in John's time desperately needed. As I've noted before, the people of Israel were living under Roman occupation. Jews were not considered Roman citizens. Not that the citizens got the right to vote, but citizens had more rights than the Jewish people did. And as is true of so many societies throughout world history, unless your income and your family connections placed you in the ruling classes, maybe the top 5 or 10% of the population, then day-to-day life was a struggle to pay the bills and feed your family. Occupation and marginalization and frustration and fear, those feelings can disturb your inner peace, alter your worldview, and get in the way of your relationship with God. And when we stray off the path, when we traverse trafficy valleys, when we stop at the rest area to walk the dog through green pastures, or when we feast on an overflowing cup of coffee and a slice of pie, we welcome the gift of recentering. The beauty is in the returning, not in the never having left. And the grace we find is limitless. Just like my phone app, I can recenter myself in God anytime, any place, and as many times a day as I need to. Recentering ourselves in God changes our perspective. New Testament scholar Marcus Borg points out that while Jesus' understanding, the Jewish understanding of repentance, meant return to God, the roots of the Greek word used in the Christian scriptures means to go beyond the mind that you have. And that, he says, implies change, change of heart, change of mind, change of attitude, change of perspective. And what a gift that is, to change our perspective so that we can see the world through God's eyes, to see every person as a beloved child of God, to see all the wonders of the world as expressions of God's imagination and God's love. As we enter into December, with all our culture's emphasis on busyness and bustle and partying and making merry, give yourself the gift of peace that comes when you recenter yourself in God's love. It will change how you view the world. It will alter how you set priorities. It will enable you to give others the gifts of grace and peace. Amen.